I like when people wave to me. That's better. Welcome again to New Life Community Church. This morning we're going to have a prayer service, as Pastor Ben said, several times a year, including on Labor Day weekend, which is this weekend. We take an entire Sunday service and we dedicate it to prayer. So that is what we're going to do today. We want to honor the commands in Scripture that tell us to pray. Jesus said, keep on praying and don't give up. The Apostle Paul said, be devoted to prayer and be faithful to it. So that's exactly what we'd like to do. In a few minutes, I'll give you some instructions about how to pray and all the like. We'll introduce the topics. But first, I'd like to tell you some stories. How about some stories? Yes, stories about answered prayer in the life of our church in the last 30 years. I'm going to tell you like three, but I hope you have it in your mind. There's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of examples of answered prayer. So, as I've been thinking about prayer in the last month, it hit me square between the eyes that the fact that I am up here leading you in prayer is an answer to prayer. It is. Not because I'm up here, but because many of you have prayed for me and my salvation in the last 20 years. So my dad, Pete Gross, he's not here today, but he always prayed a prayer. There was a time when none of his sons knew the Lord. And what did he say? God, please give me a Joseph, a Jonathan, and a Daniel. Or in other words, please give me righteous sons at a time when none of us knew the Lord. So by the grace of God, my brother John and I go to church here today. We continue to pray for my brother Zach. And thank you all of you for those that prayed with him. Because I'll tell you what, I remember the day I got baptized here 8 years ago. Anybody here that day? I think most of you were there that day. That's like half the hands in the room, if not more. And I remember feeling so connected. I felt like I belonged to you and accepted. I was accepted by you in a way I've never experienced in my life. And I'll tell you why. Because for the 20 years before that, I spent my entire life hating God, hating this church. Literally, you couldn't catch me dead here. And hating many of you. And instead of hating me back, you prayed for me. So thanks for that. And God didn't use your prayers to save me. We all know that. But the grace of God that was shown to me was magnified in you. You glorified God because you were grateful that your prayer was answered. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I remember getting dunked on this stage when there was still a baptismal right here. That was an awesome day. And I went under, I came back, I cried with you, we told stories about the last 20 years, and we caught up. And as I was ready to leave, I walked through those sanctuary doors, the ones in the back on the right. I remember this clear as day. And who was there except Mike Reiner? Yeah. And I was just getting ready to say, hi, Mike, how you doing? And instead, I'll use the lowest register my voice has. This is what he said. I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. And I just thought something snarky in my head, like, oh, you will? Good. Good. And instead of explaining it, he said it again. I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. And I said, great, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. And I'll never forget what she said, Mike. This is his response, verbatim. It's scripture, son. And if you know me today, you'll know in my office there's, that verse is Joel 2:25. That's a paraphrase of Joel Chapter 2, verse 25. It's up in my office in a couple places. I love that verse. Not only because God restored my life, but because of that interaction with you, Mike, I'll never forget it. In the last month, I have asked many of you about your experiences with prayer. Some of you have been walking with the Lord 20, 30, even 40 years. And a theme emerged from my conversations with you. And it's this. It's that many of you have prayed a prayer in desperation at some point in your life. Any broke college students in the house right now? They're taking applications at every major university. If you want to be a broke college student, just go right down there to the admissions office. You know, we've all been there. We've all been in a desperate place in our lives, whether it's establishing a family, trying to get through school, figuring out a career. There's been times where we've all needed something and we've had to pray for it. And God has been faithful to answer, as far as I can tell, three prayers every time. Prayers for jobs, houses, and cars. Who among us has needed one of those and not found it after praying? I'm going to go out on a limb and say nobody. I know a brother in this church who, I'm going to say 10 years ago, tried to sell his house to get into a new one. He had a deadline to sell his first house so he could move into his next one. And he said he tried everything. He tried to advertise, talk to people, put up flyers, all that. Nothing worked. And so it's the night before, and he's out of ideas. So he goes in his room, shuts the door, and prays. And that same night, somebody knocks on the door with a flyer in hand. I'd like to buy your house. It worked out. It's amazing. I remember being a broke college student 7 years ago. I went back to school, and I was unemployed basically for 2 years. Amy paid the bills. I had a sugar mama. It was awesome. I highly recommend getting a sugar mama if you can afford one. I guess you don't really need to afford one, do you? But we lived off of food stamps, plasma donations, and her salary as the campus intern, the CMOC, as she was affectionately known, Campus Ministry Outreach Coordinator. Or her real title is just assistant to the regional pastor. Somebody watches The Office, thank you. Right? And there was a time early in our marriage, we needed money, like a very specific amount of money, and we prayed for it, and we come home from church, and there it is. There's an envelope full of cash stuck in our door. It was virtually exactly the amount of money we needed. And then, I don't know who you are, some stinker in here, kept putting money in her cello case. Like, over and over, we'd open it up, and there's cash there. We're like, we don't even need this, stop it. And yet, one of the hardest times in our life was getting me through school, and we didn't lack for anything. I'll tell you what, the last three cars I've owned cost a combined $2. That's true. And they're beaters, I'll tell you. The car I drive right now is a derecho car. It got totaled by John Gross's insurance company. But it came like literally the week I needed a car. It was great. And I've since probably put in $3,000 worth of body work to it, whatever kind of work, mechanical work. But at the right time, it was the right price. I'll tell you one more story. About Ed Gunn. We love Ed Gunn, right? He told me a story about his days in campus ministry. And he's been in ministry a long time. So he was active on the UNI campus, University of Northern Iowa, in the 80s. And he secured the funding he needed, and he started doing campus ministry, everything he knew how to do. And a year and a half went by, and literally big goose eggs, nothing happened. No fruit, nobody's coming to Bible study, nothing's happening. And so he goes to his benefactors, and he says, I don't feel right about this in my conscience. I cannot take your money if we don't see some kind of fruit. And they said, hold on. Take a month off, dedicate it to prayer. Resume your ministry, try one more time. If nothing happens at that point, we'd understand. That's what he did. He took a month off and prayed. And he said within just a few days of resuming his ministry, four people came up to him and asked to be part of his Bible study. And from there, his ministry exploded on the UNI campus. And he said that's where Brian and Michelle Hagerman met and were later married. And we give him a hard time for that this morning, except they're not here. They're in Italy. So, there is no doubt in my mind, we have a God that not only hears our prayers, but answers. I have all the evidence I need, and I hope you do too. I know many of you do. So let's pray with that heart this morning. That's what I hope you do when you're ready to pray in a moment. You give it everything you've got. So in just a moment, I'll introduce our first topic, but a few words about how to do this, right? I want you to do what's comfortable for you. That's what the pastors want. It takes not only faith, but focus to pray in a sustained way out loud for like 40 minutes. That's what we're going to do. And there will be breaks and we'll change the topics and all that, but it's a lot of work, so we want to recognize that. So do what works for you. If you want to pray by yourself, feel free. If you want to pray with somebody next to you, do that. If you want to pace around the auditorium a little bit, that's okay too, as long as you don't obstruct anybody else's worship. My favorite thing is to pick a new prayer partner maybe. You know, you want to pray one topic with somebody, you can switch, you know, whatever works. As long as you do this, pray with your whole heart. That's the only thing we're going to ask this morning. So let's get into it, okay? Our first topic this morning, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, says this. It says, be devoted to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Let's start with the second of those two topics this morning. That's what we should do when we begin prayer. Enter God's court with thanksgiving and his gate with praise. Take a minute and think about at least five things that you're grateful for, five blessings in your life that you want to talk to God about, thank him for. So pray as you feel led to do. Pray with somebody next to you. In a minute, I'll say amen. We'll introduce the next topic. So feel free to do that now. Thank you.
Amen. So the second half of that verse in Colossians talks about being watchful in prayer. When I think of what it means to be watchful in prayer, the first place my mind goes is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked his inner trio of disciples to pray with him, Peter, James, and John. And he said, keep watch with me in prayer, even for an hour. And instead they fell asleep. But when they were sleeping, Jesus gave some teaching on prayer. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray so that you don't enter into temptation. So if you're a Christian here this morning, whether you've been a Christian for 40 years or 5 minutes, there's a spiritual battle in your life. It could be a big one or a small one. But even though that battle exists, it can be won. Furthermore, it will not be won without prayer. None of us can win it on our own. So what is it you're tempted by in your life? We all have a temptation. We could be tempted to be bitter, unforgiving, lustful, prideful. Who knows what else? Tell God about that this morning and pray that he would help you with your temptation. Let's take a minute and do that. Here's another one for you, and it's related. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your anxieties on God because he cares for you. So each of us have many troubles, many burdens in life. And let's take a moment and tell God what it is that they are, what it is that you're anxious about in your life or in the life of someone else. Take a moment and cast those burdens on God because we have a God who cares to listen. Go ahead and do that. Amen. So next, I'm going to ask you to pray through a passage of Scripture. So we're taught in Scripture to pray according to the will of God and in Jesus' name. And it begs the question, how can we be sure we are praying according to the will of God? Well, it's in God's revealed will in Scripture. I'm going to ask you to pray through this passage. I think it's behind me. And then also, it's in your bulletin. If you want to read from it here, it's Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. It talks about understanding the love of God and being filled up with the fullness of God. This is the perfect prayer to pray through for yourself, your family, people with you. Maybe you want to do that. You could take it verse by verse. If you're in a group of three, there's three verses. Each of you could do one. However you want to do, it's fine. But we'd encourage you this morning, pray through this passage of Scripture. Go ahead and do that. So I'd like to pray, I'd like you to pray for something called your big ask. Every morning, every Saturday morning, when we gather at men's prayer, we end our time by asking God to do something humongous in our lives, either with our life or through our life, by the end of our life. So my guess is if your big ask is something you might get next week, it's not big enough. What could God do with your entire life? I'm encouraging you to think about that, to explore that, and tell God what you might want to see from your life. How do you want to serve him over the course of your life? Take a minute, pray about that. Amen. We're going to transition a little bit. We prayed for ourselves, for our relationships with God. Now I'd like to have a couple topics dedicated to our church. We're going to pray for the purposes of New Life Community Church. The first of those would be that New Life Community Church would be a place to be saved. Now there's one thing on this list, blessing and protection of ministry in India and Nepal. There's a specific prayer request that I'm going to ask all of you to pray over. I was forwarded a text last night. I'm going to do my best to read this to you, but this is the prayer request from Nepal. It says, "Dear Pastor Kurt, hope this finds you, your family, your congregation well. By the grace of God, we are keeping fine. After facing the deadliest and devastating pain of COVID-19, Nepal is now facing pain of increasing dengue fever. They said it's gradually spreading all over Nepal, and the district where they are at has been declared the most severe and even a so-called red zone. Many of the Christians live in this red zone, and they're experiencing dengue fever. And so, says several of our church families have been badly infected. Many have been admitted to the hospital. Please urge the leaders and members of New Life Community Church to remember us in their prayers." So please pray for that, and please pray that New Life would be a place to be saved. There's six other items on this list. Take a moment and do that, and please pray for Nepal specifically this morning. Next, let's pray that New Life Community Church is a place to belong. I think everything you could find on this list, all seven of these items, can be summarized in one phrase. And that phrase is written right here: joyfully serving Christ with our best friends. When I read this, I think of a life's motto. People here have been friends for 40 years. There's friendships in this room that are 40 years or better. People have been married in this room for 30 years or more. Their adult children attend church here. Those children are having babies here. For crying out loud, our entire church goes on vacation together once a year. I'd say we're doing a pretty good job of belonging to each other. Maybe a little too good of a job, in fact, when certain grandkids can't go and marry certain other grandkids. We're doing okay. Yeah. So, it's just true. We belong to each other here. Virtually all of us are filthy, stinking rich when it comes to the relationships in our lives. We could die rich or poor, but we will die rich in relationship. It's an amazing thing. So let's pray that we all continue to experience that, experience more of that, and that more people would experience that with us. Please do that now. Next, let's pray that New Life continues to be a place to grow. Last night, Amy and I just celebrated 6 years of marriage. It was our anniversary last night. Thank you. And today is Ed and Michelle Lovtinsky's anniversary, 23 years of marriage. How about that? Bigger whoop, come on. Yeah, and it seems like every time we usually go out to dinner, I got my, I don't know if I should say this, maybe this is controversial, I got a pedicure last night. Amy wanted it, I went and did it. I didn't have them paint my nails, but there's a whole spa element of that that was highly enjoyable. You basically get a calf massage for $45. It's great. But every time we go out, every time we have an anniversary, we end up talking about the last year. How have you grown in the last year? What's changed for the better? How do you want to change? How do you want to continue to grow in the upcoming year? And it's always surprising. There's imperceptible ways that we grow, but we always grow. And that's thanks to the people in our lives. We grow together. You know, somebody plants in your life, somebody waters, and then God gives the growth. So I'd ask you to think about this. There's a lot of relational aspects to this, whether it's Barnabas groups, Renew Ministry, Awaken Youth Ministry, Sunday morning service. There's all these ways in which people build you up. Who are those people in your life? Pray for them. I don't know if anybody in my life in the last 7 years has caused me to grow more than my wife. Yeah. So pray about that. Thank God for the ways you've grown, and thank God for the people that have helped you do it, especially maybe through these ministries. Go ahead and take a minute and do that. Amen. Let's pray for the final purpose of our church, and that's a place to continue to give. Now, I think it needs some commendation that you continue to be a church that gives financially. I don't know if you guys know this, but every single year for the last 5-6 years, however long we've given to India, more money is given every single year. That number is over six figures consistently now. I don't know if you know that. And that, I tell you what, that's not earthly math. That's heavenly math. That 35 or so families here can give over $100,000 every year. Does that make any sense? I tell you, it does not. Our church budget increases every year. Many things about our church become more financially prosperous. But there's something else that needs commendation, and that's the heart that gives it. Every single person here, you give an incredible amount out of a heart of gold. All of you have hearts of gold. I want you to know that, because you give freely, and God continues to make us a river and not a reservoir, so that when we get more, we can give more. It's becoming evident that's what we are, and only a joyful and cheerful heart can do that. Let's pray that we continue to give in joy, and let's thank God for the people and their hearts, because the giving here is outrageous. Not just money, time, gifts, effort. There's all kind of resources here, and you give them all like none other. Let's pray that that continues and abounds. Amen. We're running out of time here this morning, but I'd like to pray for two more things quickly. We prayed for ourselves and our relationship with God. We prayed for our church. And I'd like to pray at least briefly for the whole world, for the church worldwide and the people that are in the world. So I want you to think about this for a minute. It's kind of an astounding thought, but New Life Community Church has influence on five continents. We've done work on five continents in the last year, four actually, but we will have five within the next 6 months. We're active in Marion, Iowa, and we're trying to be more active. That's something you can pray for, by the way, that our outreach efforts here in our own backyard would be successful, because our outreach efforts in Ukraine, Liberia, India, Nepal, we're getting it done over there. And certainly we want to do more here and in Costa Rica in the upcoming years. But please pray that the kingdom of God would expand and that we would do our absolute best to continue to be salt and light to the world. That's what we want. So pray that that effort is unhindered. Pray it continues. Please do that. And we'll pray for one more thing and be done. Lastly, I'd like us to pray that we would see the second coming of Christ in our lives. Yeah, there's a bunch of examples in Scripture. The Apostle John, the Apostle Paul, even Jesus himself prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus, your kingdom come." And let me just say this. I'll tell you about the coolest conversation, one of the coolest conversations I have in a whole year. And it's always when we're about to go to Boundary Waters. Because going there for a week is a slice of heaven. We get to go and return to nature and just see pristine wilderness. It feels like heaven. And inevitably what happens is we end up talking about heaven, and the conversation goes something like, how much cooler would this be if we could go on a trip like this for a year? And then that conversation shifts. How much better would heaven be if I could take a year-long family vacation? If we could go on a church retreat for a year or 10 years or 10,000 years? Because that's what's gonna happen. So pray that we can have that. Pray that God would come back and take us home. are the ability to pray, that your will is done in prayer, and that you let us participate in that prayer. We have fellowship with you in prayer. It's a picture of communion. It's an opportunity to worship. Thank you, God, for the many prayers you've answered in the life of our church over the last 30 years. We are truly grateful. Thank you as well for sending Jesus, your son. It's because of Jesus that we can pray, that he is a high priest that made his way into the Holy of Holies in heaven and left a place for us to follow. We go there every time we pray, and we cannot await the day that we get to go in person. God, we thank you that you're a good father, you answer prayer, and you give us good gifts. We love you, we dedicate our day to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.